The market doesn't joke around, so why would you? Get serious. Choose Tastytrade. Tastytrade gives you the tools you need to make smarter moves. Dig into data with advanced charting, track profit accurately with order chain trackers, see risk clearly with curve analysis, and trade with low-capped commissions, stocks, options, futures, and more. All on one platform. No wonder serious traders choose Tastytrade. Join the club, genius. Tasty Trading is a registered broker-dealer and member of FINRA and SIPC.
Market-moving insight and analysis. Join Jim Cramer, David Faber, and me, Carl Quintanilla, on the opening bell hour of CNBC Squawk on the Street.
Good Wednesday morning, and welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm David Faber with Jim Cramer. We are live from Post 9 at the New York Stock Exchange. Carl's on assignment this morning. Let's give you a look at futures, of course. As Andrew just told you, we are looking for a sharply lower open. Given that hotter-than-expected CPI print, and our roadmap does begin with that inflation surprise, consumer prices rising more than expected for March, futures, as you just saw, tumbling, and, of course, all of it because the odds for a June Fed rate policy pivot, well, they're going. They're going down.
It's always going to be high.
No. Plus, big tech divergence, Alphabet, Amazon at highs, Jim, but Apple and Tesla, I don't know if you've noticed, they've been struggling a bit. NVIDIA, we're going to talk about that stock, of course. How could we not? It's entering a correction.
Well, if you don't know what it is, or if you think it's my dog, then why don't you sell some?
And finally, Jim, the airlines are leading the S&P pre-market gainers. Delta topping quarterly estimates. It's focused on efficiencies.
I'm focused on the fact that Phil LeBeau's been here for 25 years, and he's the best, and I want to say congratulations. That's that new set of real things. We got the best there is, and I'm sorry, I have to point it out.
Rely on Phil more than we ever have. All right, let's start off, though, with the broader market, Jim. Get your reaction to the hotter-than-expected CPI print we've seen and heard from our friends on Squawk Box, obviously, and the analysis from their guests in terms of expectations for a Fed rate cut, which are fading fast. The yield curve actually inverting a bit. You've got the two-year moving up hot, more in yield than the 10-year right now.
Right, so you start thinking, well, why did the Fed kind of commit to neutrality? Because these numbers... Where the numbers, what was bad, was worse. I mean, we've been worried about shelter for a long time, shelter going in the wrong direction. I think the employment number on Friday gave you a good read of what was going to happen, of things that we're going to have to cost more. We have a surge in people who work in travel and leisure, so of course those wages have gone up. We had a surge of health care, those wages have gone up. But, David, there's a war premium to oil, and we know there's a war premium to oil, so that should be the least of our concerns. As long as there's a war, there's going to be a premium. If you think that war going to last for a long time, then there's going to remain a premium. But the only number that I really, the numbers that I really freak out about, I guess I'm supposed to freak out about, are just the endless ways to be able to find people to have somewhere to live.
Yeah.
And that includes immigrants, of which, by the way, since the government doesn't have any numbers at all, we have to presume is hot. And it won't stay. By the way, raising mortgage rates only makes it exacerbates. Because yes. We don't, you don't want to build. If you're Toll Brothers, you look at these numbers and you know, I'm going to make fewer homes. So that's the intractable part. That's the part that if you raised rates, wouldn't make things better. So that's where the Fed's really in a box, not food. I mean, finally, food stopped being more expensive at home. It's a little more expensive at the store. I like that. But these numbers are the numbers of an economy that is on the move. It is terrific. And if we're all going to sweat the program and decide that the 10-year and 30-year auction is going to go bad and we get to 5%, you and I have been there 5%. That's called a great level. So I don't want to lose sight of how unnatural.
No, but the fact that we may very well get no rate cuts for the remainder of this year is very different than what people had anticipated as 2023 came to an end, not to mention even a few weeks ago or months ago.
Well, those people,
what is that going
to
mean for the broader market?
Those people are wrong.
Okay, they may be, but they can also vote with their feet and say, well, I'm not going to buy equities right now.
They can go buy CDs. They can go buy the short rate. I mean, I have a lot of short rate paper, and I'm looking at it, and I'm saying, wow. I mean, what do I do? Buy more short rate paper or buy CDs? The CD rates went down yesterday. It's kind of disconcerting. But I just think that there are a lot of people who are on the wrong side of this trade, and they're frantically getting out. And it's you see them first in the futures, and then there'll be a lot of people who are very scared, and they're in Mag 7, and they don't know what the Mag 7 are other than the fact that it's not Steve McQueen and Yul Brynner anymore. And then there are a lot of people in the industrials, and they think, oh, my, I guess the data centers aren't going to be built out. That's wrong. And then there's just fellow travelers, David. Fellow travelers who just say, you know what, this market's been good since the Fed pivoted. Oh, my, maybe the Fed's done. Done.
All right, so what does the year look like for a stock market in which the Fed is no, is, you know, we're neutral. They're new, in other words, no rate cuts.
Well, one or none. Look, I you know, Rick Santelli has been very right about what's going to happen with the auctions, I think. And yesterday he said that there was an auction, a short rate auction that was very bad. And I think this auction is going to be very bad today. But I also think I come back to say, let it come in. Let it come in. If you haven't taken any profits and you don't know what you own. Okay, so let's get the NVIDIA. NVIDIA, I'm sticking by. I had a long-term view of NVIDIA. I've had a long-term view of NVIDIA since 2012. Am I changed? No. I mean, the Intel so-called claim that they're faster, stronger, this or that. I mean, give me a break. No one's committing to that one. NVIDIA is a great company. It's got a very low multiple. But if you don't know what NVIDIA is, David, and you bought it because you liked what I said about it, why don't you sell some? You know, just like, please me. Sell some so I don't have to hear when it's at 800. Why didn't I get it?
Although we do have Morgan Stanley raising its price target.
Oh, yeah, with $1,000.
Business continues to strengthen for NVIDIA.
They have, but so what?
They're talking about the hyperscalers planning out data center expansions for the next 3 to 4 years.
Yes.
That would tend to indicate durability.
There is great durability. That's why I'm saying own it, don't trade it. But I also have, we also know that there are people who don't know what they own. And when you meet people who stop you and say thank you for NVIDIA, and then you follow up and you say, what does NVIDIA do? They're stunned. They're stunned. And they don't know. I mean, they think, well, NVIDIA, let me tell you, they wow, Jensen. I mean, that's what they say. Those are the people who have, they're the fellow travelers that I'm most worried about. They don't know what they're doing in NVIDIA.
Right.
They see it go down and they say, well, it must be wrong. Those are the people you're going to have them reassess, just like there are people who are reassessing the Fed. And then once rates get to where they have to go, which is not that high because there is, frankly, at a certain level of self-correction, you're fine. But nobody wants to hear that you're fine. We have cash for Chattel Trust. I've been waiting for a decline. Okay, we're getting the decline. Does that mean I should now wait for a bigger decline? No. Get the decline.
I don't know
stuff.
Where, and with this, as we're calling it, a correction, this decline of 12% from the highs. Well, NVIDIA's multiples down to what, Jim? I don't, where gonna, are we on 24?
Well, I mean,
25?
it could be 23 on next year's earnings. But David,
sound like
if we go through,
me based if on we, the growth rate.
If we bore people and don't talk about Musk or, I haven't talked about Buffett lately, let's bring him into the rating scene.
Sure.
If we go over this news release from the seat front on this.
On the Consumer Price Index,
Department of Labor. I mean, it's energy, it's rent, and it's damn. But I mean, as I mentioned, Buffett, it's auto insurance. Will we please have some sort of competition in auto insurance?
Auto insurance is not good. Food away from home keeps going
up. Food away
up.
From home. I mean, what are you going to do? Stay home. Look, the last month was actually not that bad in terms of food away from home. Liquor prices are coming down. Why don't people realize that? But these are just sticky. You need commodities to come in a little. They are. And you need labor to cost less. And that's what the immigration issue is. The hidden labor workers in the kitchen will make it so eventually you'll be able to get a cheap burger, fries, and not Diet Coke, but Jack and Diet.
All right. So you're not overly concerned
as
you look at a market.
No, I'm not.
We're going to watch the S&P have a significant decline again when we start trading 22 minutes from now.
Well, look, if you know what you own and you look at the news release from the Bureau of Labor Statistics and you decide, you know what, I am going to bail out of NVIDIA because I see this food away from home numbers bad and I'm very worried about used cars and trucks. Well, I mean, used cars and trucks are actually pretty good, so let's forget that. Then you shouldn't have been in, or you got a chance. You're up what? Sell it to me. Come down so I can buy it. Because I know what it is. I know what NVIDIA does. I know that the Blackwell is multiple times better than what Intel's doing. I know that Google and NVIDIA are working together. I know that Jensen Huang said, if Google's making a chip, I want to help. Is that a reason to bail? Well, go ahead. I said it over and over again. After the GTC conference, the stock goes down. So now we're in the GTC conference. So what am I going to say? Wow, what a shocker.
Right.
Shocker.
As for the Mag 7 overall, mentioned it at the top, Alphabet, Amazon, of course, all-time highs.
Yeah.
Alphabet is something of a surprise. Again, I've made this point a number of times.
Turned out that YouTube.
Given the existential crisis that lasted a week there for investors.
And Thomas Kurian is the star of the show.
Any
the
number
Cloud.
Of well-known pundits reflecting on social media, for X, for example, right, about the coming demise or questioning its ability to compete. And
well,
lose,
it was,
or
that
whether
was
it would
a real surprise. That got down to,
by the way, it
that
might
was 16
still,
times earnings.
It might still have its monopoly in search.
It had a lower multiple than ConAgra.
It might.
It had the low. It had the multiple of a French fry company, for heaven's sake. Well,
Thomas Curry, of course,
bad.
Yeah, they had their big.
That's a big get, okay?
Yeah.
And if you're not respectful to Curry and you call him Tom, interview over, partner.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Oh, just the interview ends immediately.
Not familiar with the gentleman. You want to take a listen to what he had to say?
Why not? I mean, what the hell? What else are we going to do?
Yeah, I don't know what the hell else we're going to do.
I mean, watch the market go down. Let's have some information.
This was him yesterday, the Google Cloud CEO. Take a listen.
One of them's offering a closed system. They have one model, one provider of that model. They don't even own that model. The other one does not have any AI expertise, so they only offer third-party models. We blend both. We have our own models, and we have the expertise to build systems and integrate these models into our products so that people can use it. At the same time, we're not taking a closed proprietary point of view.
I told you he's going to do $50 billion.
Yesterday,
I told you he's going to do $50 billion. People are like, wow, what does that mean? Well, it means that he's doing very well. He's taking share, but there's a lot of
business. Taking share, there's an awful lot of share to take.
There's a lot of share.
I mean, that's the point. You can have an environment in which the hyperscalers, Amazon, Microsoft through Azure, and Google Cloud all are beneficiaries,
we're in the
of course,
second inning of the whatever.
Of what's happening in terms of generative AI.
Well, I mean, I hate baseball analysis because second inning, now baseball games go so fast. I don't want this to end. But I do think that the cloud is just in such demand, and they're only about 15% of businesses have moved to the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of room.
It's a lot of room.
So let's read it. What do people do? Okay, so as long as interest rates are going higher, and we do have some auctions, and the auctions probably go badly, well, you start picking at things when you see things overdone, but you must know what they are. Okay, you must know that AbbVie has a bunch of really good drugs. So when it gets to 4% yield, that's good, not bad. You have to kind of flip the equation and say, wow, you know what? This market's been good ever since the Fed pivoted, but now we're not sure about the Fed. Let's go back to what looks interesting. I mean, let's get granular because I really don't like this idea of the market. Let's talk about Caterpillar because we all know what Caterpillar does, right?
Okay.
Make Earth move. They do more than that, but they're central to data center and to oil, not to China anymore.
Right.
Okay, so CAT got up to 17 times earnings, and it's had a run of 25%.
Yes.
All right? 25% for one of the companies that is decyclicized, that's what I call it. It's kind of a strange term, but I got it from Jim Elpenby, who's the CEO. So is that stock due to come in? Yes. Do you buy it or sell it? It's an infrastructure play. The federal money is just getting there right now. That is something. It's at 370. At 330. At 330, which is probably going to be at 330. At 330, I would buy CAT. Let the people who have just been riding it and just saying, you know what, I'm great in CAT. Let them get scared. Let them get scared. Okay?
Okay, Jim.
I mean, let's talk Disney. There's one. Okay.
Really? We got to talk Disney again.
No, let's forget Disney.
I know. It's enough. No,
let's forget Paramount. I'm looking for Dow stocks that I know are going to be. The reason I'm doing this is that Dow's down 500. Okay.
All right. How about your favorite?
I have some.
Salesforce.
Let's get to it. Pretend, you know, probably goes down 5%. ServiceNow probably goes down 3%. These are AI companies. AI goes down between 3 and 5%.
Right.
And everyone gets scared and thinks it's over. Maybe they retreat to the 10-year. Maybe they retreat to CDs. I am saying this is the squall. We've been expecting it. I'm not saying enjoy it. I am saying it probably lasts a little bit because we have to endure Jamie Dimon saying he's very concerned that rate. Well, that's tomorrow's business. I mean, Friday's business.
Getting J.P. Morgan right.
Yeah, well, you know, here.
Starting with, yes,
he
memo, starting earnings season begins, end of the week, we
he
get
won't
the banks.
Come on the call
but obviously
mid,
we're working
middle.
Off of Jamie's comments from his annual letter
right.
In which he said that rates could hit as high as 8%.
Yeah, so he could.
As a risk. He didn't say it's going to happen.
No, but he's
he
got, you know, he'll like say something negative and kill his own stock for a couple of weeks. And you'll say, why'd you do that, Jamie? He'll say, well, because that's what I think.
Yeah. Meanwhile, his stock is up over 52%
right.
in a year.
Yes. I mean, but it sells at 12 times earnings, which is too low a multiple. But I think that when I look at, I'm trying to pick Dow stocks. Remember, I'm not being at random here. You ditched me on Disney. That was fine. I didn't care. But J.P. Morgan is at 12 times earnings, and he is going to say negative things because that's what he does. Okay. So do you buy it or sell it after he said negative things? How about you wait 4 days, start the buyback of the company? Well, he's not going to buy that much here. But I just think that this is real life, that Jamie Dimon's stock is up huge. So people are going to sell a little. That's what happens.
That's what happens, Jim. That's what happens.
That's what happens.
We are potentially going to have a down day. We'll see how we move towards the trading day.
This is not the playoffs.
No.
And what happens is we're one and done. It's not that. See, it's like a long-term situation. And we can trade it. You want me to trade it? I say, oh, dear, I got to buy it and sell it. Buy it. So I sold deer and bought it and sold it. No. I mean, just like let it come in a little. If you don't know what the company does, if you think deer is a deer and you think cat is a cat, well, I mean, well, go to the darn zoo.
You shouldn't be doing this stuff anyway.
Right.
Of course, these days, a lot of
it. You know, there is such a thing as dead cat bounce.
A lot of it has been reduced to almost trading on your phone as though you're betting basketball.
My wife. Maybe she watches the show.
Lovely.
You know, I had the show now for 10 years, 12 years.
I'm aware how long we've been doing this.
Yeah, well, then why don't you tell her?
Why change a good thing? When we come back, Delta's one of the morning's bright spots. We're going to explain why. Take another look at futures, of course. Jim's not worried. 14 minutes till we open.
Oh, David, I'm really scared. The market is up huge.
We're right back after this.
For more than a decade, Comcast has been committed to bridging the digital divide and connecting millions to affordable high-speed internet. But the barriers to get connected go well beyond affordability. Through Project Up, Comcast is committing $1 billion to reach millions with digital skills training, resources, and opportunities needed to succeed in a digital world. Project Up, building a future of unlimited possibilities. Learn more at comcast.com/projectup.
Let's get straight to the point. You want to grow your portfolio to fight rising costs of inflation or pay off your debt or anything standing in the way of you and financial freedom, right? Yahoo Finance, our sponsor today, can help. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been helping great investors like you. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just looking for tips, Yahoo Finance makes it super easy by putting all the tools and data you need in one spot. Yahoo Finance takes a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and more. You can securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including 401k and other investments. That's how Yahoo Finance gives you insights and helps you take a look at your wealth in its entirety. That big picture perspective is what great investors need. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com.
We've seen a 15-point acceleration since the start of the year in business travel, and we're now back revenue-wise at or above pre-pandemic levels. The volumes are still a little bit off, maybe 90%, but we're doing really, really well.
That was Delta CEO Ed Bastian discussing the state of business travel with Phil LeBeau. Of course, that was an interview earlier on Squawk Box. The airline did post quarterly results that were above analyst estimates. It is forecasting strong summer travel demand. I thought that was interesting, Jim. It was a question we asked so often during the course of the pandemic and since then. Would business travel ever get back to the level? He's saying dollar-wise, I believe it has. Maybe not quite as many passengers.
Well, their stock goes up $2.50 when Phil interviewed Mr. Bastian. And I'm saying Delta's really on its game. They, you know, there are actually a lot of difference, dispersion among the airlines about who's doing a good job. And obviously there's disarray among the Spirit, JetBlue. It's not clear whether United just has momentum. Southwest Air is unfortunately really bad. And Delta has shined here, and that's because it's really well run. And I applaud Mr. Bastian. He's done a great job. That stock will be down today. That's the kind of thing I'm looking at. Okay, so it'll be down today, and all the analysts tomorrow will come out and recommend it because it turned out to be much better than expected. It's got a good model. Well, pilots are being laid off. Pilots are being laid off.
Pilots are being laid off.
Remember what we had? We had a pilot shortage that ended. That's a good example of what can happen. if you take rates higher and not everybody does well. So that's where the economy is working. And where it's not, David, can we just like talk about the idea that there's no price cutting in insurance, that there's nothing. Your health care insurance has gone up, up, up. There's no competition among those companies. It seems like there's no competition among auto insurance. And we're accepting, and that is a shame. And I just don't understand why the capital system isn't working and someone doesn't come in with a decent rate health care plan and a decent rate insurance, because that's killing us. And the fact that we haven't been able to build enough buildings to be able to accommodate 10 million people that have come here legally and illegally in the last 3 years. And those are the things that, I don't want to get too political, but those are the things that are going to create an issue when it gets to the election. Those are the things people get mad at and blame the president.
Well, and or, right, inflation overall. Again, we're running at whatever, 3.5% or more a year.
We've dealt with 4%.
But that's off of, you know, 19 to 20, I mean, 21 and 22, which were brutal
years
for inflation.
All right, yeah, so sell stocks.
All right, get ready. You got a mad dash coming up. We're going to get back to talking about some stocks here as we count you down to an opening bell, of course. If you've seen futures, you know we're going to have a far lower open based on that CPI print that was, as we like to say, hotter than expected.
I can tell you're so scared.
Racing perhaps many hopes that had already been dashed to a certain extent that we would get rate cuts in the near term. More Squawk on the Street after this.
The spirit of performance defines Acura. And now it's electric. Introducing the all-electric ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. While what powers their cars may change, the energy that makes Acura never will. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system and up to 313-mile range on a single charge, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is everything they said electric could never be. It was built with the driver in mind, just like Acura has been doing since the beginning. We could talk all day, but the only way to experience this electric performance is to drive it yourself. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
All right, let's get to it. Quick mad dash, Jim, because we've got an opening bell less than a minute away.
Yesterday we had this Piper Teen survey, which I love. It's 6,000 teens. And what did they like? They liked Hoka. They liked Uggs. Therefore, they liked Deckers. Well, today, Truist comes out with some credit card data saying that Uggs has meaningfully outperformed, absolutely. But Hoka had a weak February, David, and that's going to cause people to say, why did I buy that yesterday?
Now, Hoka, weak? Come on, no way.
Hoka.
Love those.
Now, Hokas. They didn't say, they didn't slag on. On had good numbers, but there's a big short position.
With those squeaky sneakers.
And the pebbles that get in the soles.
Never wore those ons again.
I take them off when I come into the house because I don't want pebbles all
yes,
over my house.
Yes, the pebbles now. Take a look at real-time exchange. Not unexpectedly, a lot of red on that board. Here at the big board, Auna, that's a healthcare provider in Latin America. It's celebrating its recent listing at the NASDAQ. Recent listing. Over at the NASDAQ, we got the National Security Emerging Markets Index ETF. Because, Jim, there is an ETF for everything.
Did you see that private credit ETF, that one that came out the other day, and it just got crushed?
Got crushed.
Yeah, I mean, the value's like $4, and it's at 60. I mean,
there's literally an ETF for everything.
And a lot of them are silly. But David, China ETF, yes, no, maybe. Jack Ma saying things?
Jack Ma is saying things, and it may be having an impact on Baba.
But let's talk about what it may mean. David, are they pivoting towards capitalism, or is that just a feint?
No, listen, Mr. Ma's comments about Alibaba, and it is interesting, and because, you know, we talk so often about that being the bellwether of the Chinese
yes.
market in some way, and certainly it's the name that many investors know the best, but they lost their mojo at Baba.
Oh,
and
the mojo per share. I'm glad you brought that
Timu,
up.
Timu, Pinduoduo, or ByteDance, not a public company, they've been outclassed, and so Ma kind of saying, hey, you know what? We gotta get back to business. A lengthy memo that's being reported to employees expressing support for the restructuring efforts. Saying, hey, we've had a somewhat tumultuous time recently, but we must not only have the courage to admit and correct yesterday's problems in a timely manner, but also make reforms for the future.
But
this year amid the many doubts and
things.
Pressures on the company. And Alibaba shares are an outlier today because they're up about 2% on the memo.
I think that the stock is very inexpensive. Can we just reflect on Sarah's excellent interview with Sarah with Janet Yellen for a moment?
Listen, sure.
So we have our treasury secretary go to China.
Yes.
And basically slam the Chinese, right? Then we have Fitch downgrading China, okay? Well, these aren't supposed to happen. We're supposed to go there and try to sell more Prel, for heaven's sake. Remember that? We're supposed to open more plants there and take share. Meantime, what happens? Tim Cook! Devices in India.
Yes, 14. Yeah,
you think 14, he's a, no, so you think he's just sitting there and saying, oh, my God, China's not growing and India's got the youngest population. I'm saying that there's a shift going on, and we act as if the Chinese, because they do have a very powerful military, are always threatening us. Taiwan sent me with a fantastic number last night. But I'm just saying that when I listened to the interview with Sarah, I say to myself, wow, where's the old days where we were mendicants for Chinese business? I'm sorry, those days are over.
No, those days are, and foreign investment, obviously, direct foreign investment has fallen dramatically, as we know.
Yeah, big Mexican election. We're not spending any time in Mexico, which is ridiculous.
Why do you say that?
Because they're our biggest trading partner, and they're a fabulous trading partner. And other than the Canadian Pacific KSU, that you can't even buy anything that makes any money for you. You can buy the peso, which I think is very strong.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I think that that's our biggest trading partner. And I don't know why Biden doesn't spend more time trying to figure out how to fix the border, because we have a president there who's very pro-capitalism, and the new president will most likely be pro-capitalist. So that's where we should be spending more time, India and Mexico. And obviously, the sunset interview with Yellen was meaningful. The thing that the Chinese are exporting more than anything else I know is cyber terrorism. Last I looked, that doesn't really have a good multiple.
No, it doesn't. And it is a huge issue, one that we can't really talk about enough in some ways. But we don't, because it's become so commonplace for there to be yet another attack and another. I mean, it was many, many years ago now when I did my doc on Chinese cyber espionage.
Well, you didn't bring your phone, famously.
Well, yeah,
you brought a burner,
you always have to bring a burner when you go to
China. That was like the closest you ever came to the wire.
I don't even know how many years ago that was. 10, 11, 12, I can't even remember. And it's only increased since then. There was a brief lull during a part of the Obama administration when he'd sort of really warned them, but it's come back. I mean, they have thousands of people dedicated to doing nothing but, as we know, cyber
espionage.
Are you
in the watching that's going on with United Health and the dueling press releases by people, by companies that are actually...
I thought you were going to take me more to your guest last night, George Kurtz from CrowdStrike and Microsoft, because he had some comments to say. We can talk about the breach at United Healthcare, but what did Kurtz have to say about Microsoft? I thought it was interesting how outspoken he was. Let's take a listen. George Kurtz on Mad Money last night, CEO of CrowdStrike, talking about how or not how active Microsoft has been in terms of combating
and being transparent.
Cyber.
This is really important. We should all listen to this.
What was really concerning to me is if they're not being transparent and forthright with the public, what are they doing to their customers, and are they putting them at risk? I think that's one of the most damning things that came out of the report, is just the cultural change that has to take place at Microsoft at the moment.
Now, Microsoft did
give us some more context on
Microsoft
that.
Microsoft did give me a release saying that they are changing things. But there was an investigation. Microsoft said that they had found the hack and it was solved. And that was not true. And Microsoft admitted that it wasn't true. And I think that George, if I had prodded him, being given one more minute, I would have asked him, what would happen if this were Boeing and David Calhoun went lied to the FAA? Well, I think that we would see very few Boeing planes in the air. They would be grounded. And I feel the same way. Microsoft would be grounded. But David, Microsoft, they were beaten up in 2000. Ever since then, free ride.
You think they have not received enough scrutiny for their lack of, they're so important for the number of hacks that have taken place and or their unwillingness to fully communicate around them.
I think that they're surprised that there isn't more opprobrium. I think that Satya Nadella would come here and just say, listen, we really screwed up, man. We're trying frantically to get this culture together. And this is never going to happen again, because the report, which is by a Department of Homeland Security, this is not like a department of Google and Amazon, is so damning that I was like reading it, like, no, they could not have lied to Homeland Security, could they? Could they really have said a hack was done, found, rooted out, and it wasn't?
seems like a bad thing to choose to do.
Suboptimal.
Yes.
But anyway, I think that George brought it out. I'm trying to get the Department of Homeland Security guy on. Again, we did read a statement from Microsoft, which admitted, by the way, they got to fix their culture. But here's what happened last time when this report came out. Microsoft stock was up 15 cents. People, hey, you know?
The people have spoken. It doesn't.
Yeah. Homeland Security ain't got nothing for you.
No, those kinds of stories don't typically get a big reaction in the equity markets. As we take a look at Microsoft shares, up some 45% over the course of the year. Of course, it is the largest market cap company of any in our market at $3.1 $3 trillion.
Sell that, but that they're having a great quarter.
Far exceeding that of Apple at this point.
The new PC is going to have a Copilot button. It's going to be the biggest refresh cycle in history. I know today is not the day to talk about it because we're supposed to be really scared and try to push the market over.
Well, we're not doing any of those things.
Homie Kramer does that play.
And if you are just joining us, of course, you can see at the bottom of your screen, CPI ex food was hotter than anticipated.
And what was hot?
Rent. Versus 0.3.
And
rent.
Gasoline.
That has led to a surge in rates and, of course, a overall belief that we will not see a near-term rate cut. Certainly June seems to be off the table.
Okay, so two
to the extent that the Fed is data dependent. And we have by the way, all right, we're down 1.1% in the S&P and 1.08% in the NASDAQ.
Right,
Jim.
Well, we do have that bad bond auction later. Let's just admit that's going to go badly. But look, heating oil's up. Heating oil. We don't use heating oil in the country. 8% of the country uses heating oil. We are 34% natural gas going to 40. So, I mean, I'm not going to. This thing was created before we had a surfeit of
bad
gas.
You're going to take the CPI to task and go through all the different components?
If you don't go granular, then you can't explain why this index is incorrect versus the average things that Americans do. Was apparel really up this big?
I know.
Was it?
What was it?
Well, then go to TJ Maxx, for heaven's sake. That plastic belt fooled you.
Apparel was up 0.7%.
Yeah, I mean, give me a break. Where? Where?
I don't know, Jim. I don't know where.
Probably
I don't.
Probably in Fitch.
I don't shop.
Gap stores.
Okay.
Macy's.
Don't know.
Hey, maybe it's up Macy's because they're being challenged. Ba-dum-bum.
Thank you. Yes, Macy's did add two members to its board.
Who they?
They are gentlemen's named Clark and Markey. I'm looking for various press releases here. Remember, Ark House, along with a credit-focused fund, have been trying to buy the company.
Yeah.
And they have agreed with Macy's to add two board members immediately as I go through my papers here, trying to find it. Oh, yeah, here's my Macy's file. Stock's not doing much.
Are they walking away?
Richard Clark and Richard Markey, they will join the finance committee tasked with reviewing the Ark House and Brigade proposal to acquire Macy's. Remember, you've also got that acquisition out there that at least they are now doing due diligence on and trying to move forward with a plan to potentially buy the company. Interesting, because Ark House, of course, is sort of the activist here. Brigade, their partner, is really a $25 billion credit-focused fund that would and is potentially happy to move forward with the offer. The last offer was 24, right, Jim? 24 bucks a share.
Now, Macy's is six times earnings, which is in the pathetic portion of the S&P, along with Ford and GM. Okay, Macy's is incredibly inexpensive. Tony Spring has succeeded Jeff Gennett. Jeff Gennett fixed the balance sheet. That was a monumental task. Tony's got really good eyes, meaning that he has Bloomingdale focus. I don't know if you've seen the stores. The stores are electric.
Are electric?
They're
really?
Electric.
No, I haven't.
Oh, my.
I
see the change in Bloomingdale's. Macy's is going to be harder to turn. But what he's doing with Macy's, he continues Jeff Gennett's correct approach of closing the ones that have bad numbers. So should the stock have six times earnings? I mean, people think that the department store is dead. I understand that. I think Tony Spring can resurrect it. Watch Federal Realty and watch Simon Properties.
All right. 24 bucks. Sold to you or not? Here you are, Macy's shareholders, 24 bucks. Take it or not.
On
a $19
this,
stock you know, right now.
Tony,
I mean, it's going to take a while. It's obviously not going to trade right to 24.
David, this is that dilemma. Do I take the 24 now or bet that I'm going to get to 30 in 3 years? And 24 in this market seems good. But
you're taking the 24, Jim. That's what you're doing.
I know. I don't
you
mean.
You are. Move on.
Because the market doesn't want to give Tony Spring his due.
It's fine.
I'll take the money. The market's down 504. What was it down on the great day of the crash?
Give me the cash.
508.
Let them figure it out as a private company.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, great. glad we had settled that. We don't need to discuss.
How about poultry?
We don't need to discuss Macy's.
Poultry was up.
Enough with the CPI.
Well, why do you think the market's down? Because of Macy's?
I don't know. You want to talk? Let's talk about UBS for a minute. Let's go overseas, shall we? Bloomberg story. UBS. Well, the stock's down. It's almost a year since they. Since Credit Suisse failed and the Swiss course,
I'll go with you.
It's two banks.
I'll go UPS down three and I'll go UBS.
One.
I'll see you, UPS.
So there's
and I'll
UBS shares down 3.6%. Substantial increase in regulatory capital requirements under reforms the Swiss government is advocating for in the wake, of course, of the collapse of Credit Suisse. The so-called Federal Council proposing systematically important Swiss banks. That would basically be, there's only really, what else is there?
Santander, which is just crushing it.
Oh, that's not a Swiss bank.
No, but I'm saying in Europe, it's the largest bank in Europe.
Must hold significantly more capital against their foreign units. UBS, by the way, has been very aggressive in the U.S. once again. Forget, though, Credit Suisse, they were a major player for
huge.
So many years. They had all they did was get everything, just get things wrong.
They've been on the wrong side of the trade for decades.
Remember, Archegos was, I mean, like, that one always
What is going on? Well, I mean.
Anyhow, that's why UBS shares are down. Okay, back to our domestic stocks. What do you got?
So NVIDIA's up. So therefore, if you think that NVIDIA is a dog, then you got your little chancy here.
NVIDIA's up in part because of the Morgan Stanley price target move that we mentioned. They're talking about a stock, Jim, based on their
pitiful, helpless giant.
Based on their $25 calendar year 2025 calendar year estimate, the stock trades at 28 times.
Well, I mean, if I have to hear
28 times.
If it's part of a bubble, once more, I say again, people don't understand that they have tremendous earnings power, that they're well ahead of everybody else, that Blackwell is going to crush everyone. That's their new iteration. But, David, look, we're used to this. We see these stocks go down. And the reason why I've said NVIDIA, own it, don't trade it, is because it's inexpensive. In the same way that Alphabet, nay, Google, is inexpensive.
Right.
Amazon's expensive, but it's doing
a
good job.
Well, I was going to mention Amazon as we kind of go through some of the Mag 7. We talked about Amazon a good deal yesterday as it approached $2 trillion in market value. It didn't quite get there.
Amazon's barely down. It's
barely down. Has backed off a tiny bit, but right near all-time highs.
It's barely down. Well, Andy Jassy's going to be on. They have Andy on tomorrow on Squawk.
On Squawk Box, I saw that.
Andy is not promotional. He's very calm. Giant fan. Sorry, Saquon, ours. But I do think that in the end, that stock's had a very big move. And if someone wants to sell that, I'm not going to fight them. I'm not selling any of my trust. I love the stock. What are you doing?
I'm looking through my notes to find something else to talk about.
Well, you just have it in your head, for heaven's sake.
Well,
North American
I have lots in my head, okay?
Are you ready?
May not compare with quite
the
number of voices in your head.
Oil and gas.
You really want to talk about oil and gas?
People don't stop recommending them. I thought it was interesting.
Yeah. I wanted to talk about ByteDance. It's a private company, but you know what? Sometimes we should talk about private companies here. They're enormous.
Yeah.
Private credit is enormous. Bloomberg reports that earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization, my old favorite EBITDA, $40 billion in 2023.
Are you kidding?
No. Put a multiple on that.
Wait a second.
$40 billion.
Where does that come from?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's what they're talking about.
That's really incredible.
About TikTok here. We haven't actually discussed that story in a while, in part because the Senate, we thought, might move very quickly to kind of move its own bill or companion bill to the House's ban on TikTok here in the U.S. Hasn't happened as of yet. But ByteDance has so much going on in the Chinese market in the form of Douyin, which is morphing into an all-in-one platform, sort of akin to Tencent's WeChat. And encroaching on, as we mentioned earlier, Alibaba in terms of e-commerce. ByteDance, amazing. One day it will come public. I'm not sure it's not going to come public here. But put a multiple on $40 billion EBITDA growing at that rate.
I'm astonished that it's that big. That was something that might transcend even the problems we have. Fitch downgrade.
It is one of, if not the largest, private companies in the world. Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible.
I'm glad you appreciate that. All right. Now you get to talk about a public company again, Jim. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm going to do that.
Go through notes? Isn't it in your head?
David, I'm going to talk about Tesla.
Oh, okay.
Every day, the long knives are out for Musk. You know, just when everything was going up, everyone was a fellow traveler. They loved him. Now that it's going down, he's tripolar. And which is really unbelievable. I think they're studying that at Hopkins.
Right.
And I just find, David, he's despised. I mean, it's incredible. Full self-driving, you know, hey, we got to like, oh.
Nobody believes him on full self-driving.
Lithium is bottoming. Remember when he like devoted one call to like the incredible rise in lithium? Well,
lithium mining, they were,
He got that going, but I think what he lacks is sales. That's often imperative.
I feel like you've been warming up to the stock, though, a little bit. Am I wrong?
I'm just saying, look, what'll happen is Kathy Wood will come on air. She'll use a 200 times earnings, $800 price target. People say it's the bottom because it's Kathy Wood, and then you'll get around.
Or Ron Barron will come on and say it's going to be a $4 trillion market cap.
These are fellow traveler, amen corner people. They always come on our air. They always say it's done going down. And like no one said, if I said NVIDIA's done going down, and it doesn't, I mean, they're going to put me in the stockade over here in the 55 wall.
They got a nice safe downstairs. They could just put you down there, you know, way down deep. Yeah.
You'd never hear from me again there.
No.
But anyway, I'm just saying that Tesla, like right now, it's on the other side. So everyone thinks that this unbelievable magician, brilliant man, is no longer capable of coming up with anything. And I'd rather be an insurer. I'd rather be in Buffett with Geico.
I'm not sure you'd rather be in the banks this morning as we await earnings later in the week. As you might expect, Bank America, of course, that bond portfolio. Always, you know, when you move up and right. Yeah,
they're doing fine.
Because their long-term data bonds obviously are far lower rates, and therefore, it's all.
We didn't talk about the rails. Those are going to be up. Norfolk Southern, those are one-way stocks now. Norfolk Southern, good proxy fight going on there. You've got to get into that one.
Let's give people a quick look at the bond market, of course, because it has been a big mover off that CPI number this morning, as you might anticipate. As I've said, 2 years, perhaps a bit up more. Let's see, where are we right now? Yeah, 4.946 on the 2-year. Over the 10 at 4.495. Both yields obviously appreciably higher.
Yeah.
In part on the belief that, hey, that Fed, maybe we don't see any rate cuts in 2024. We'll be right back. All right, let's get to it. Got time for a stop trading from Jim.
I wanted to be able to bottom fish soon was Boeing. Morgan Stanley goes 235 down to 180. Production is slowing. The stock is getting hit. I wish I had something positive to say. But
do you think it's time that maybe I'm due an apology for all the crap you gave me for getting you out of Boeing?
Coincidentally, that's why I did this at the end of the show. I want Belle to know, David's mother, that I am apologizing. You got me out. I missed that 100-point move. But anyway, Boeing is still too early.
It does go back, Jim. The reason, of course, I'm referring to is the conversation we had some time ago where you were talking yet again about all the pain, all the difficult things of Boeing, and yet you hadn't chosen to sell the stock.
No, but now you were right, and I got out. I didn't make money, but I got out. David, I've got a company tonight that is a little off the beaten track. Mine is a mushroom company.
You got a mushroom company on
tonight? I got a healthcare company. A little off the beaten track to try to cheer people up a little.
Mind Med.
Yeah.
So we're talking hallucinogenics.
Yeah, and not the kind that come from ChatGPT.
Right.
I mean, right. I can do we can hallucinate chat.
Opening up new neural pathways.
Well, I just think that people, right. I think people underestimate homeopathic, underestimate homeopathic medicines. Yeah. I thought it'd be a nice diversion from what is obviously the gloom and doom that
they,
I don't
they
share.
They say you get to a certain age, a full trip, you got to have somebody guiding you. It can be very beneficial.
David, ketamine.
Maybe you and I will try that sometime. Not the ketamine,
trip
the other
or
thing.
The nose
no,
trip.
The mush. We'll get the mind med guy.
Why not?
Tell me how.
Anyway, look. You have bad auction today. Let it come in. Stop panicking. If you don't know what you own, sell some. Okay.
All right. He's Jim Cramer. You'll see him again tonight on Mad Money. And as for us, we're going to stay on top of this morning's sell-off. So don't go anywhere.
You've been listening to the opening bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
All opinions expressed by the Squawk on the Street participants are solely their opinions and do not reflect the opinions of CNBC, NBC Universal, or their parent company or affiliates, and may have been previously disseminated by them on television, radio, internet, or another medium. You should not treat any opinion expressed on this podcast as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy, but only as an expression of an opinion. Such opinions are based upon information Squawk on the Street participants consider reliable, but neither CNBC nor its affiliates and/or subsidiaries warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such. To view the full Squawk on the Street disclaimer, please visit cnbc.com/Squawk on the Street disclaimer.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.